It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
What up, Money for Lunch? Hey, it's good to have you guys here. I'm excited to share this show with you. We have Eric Rogers, Direct Access Digital. We're going to be talking about digital stuff, digital marketing. And I'm expecting a lot. The whole show is riding on Eric Rogers' shoulders, his huge, massive, muscle-like shoulders. I'm just kidding. Eric Rogers has devoted the last 10 years of his career to all types of digital marketing, establishing himself as a pioneer in the industry and a leader in the Canadian market, co-founding Direct Access Digital. His five-year-old organization now provides cutting-edge marketing services to Fortune 500 companies. Eric is the first ever Canadian recipient of the Google Search Excellence Award, which he has now been the recipient twice. Eric Rogers, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks very much, Bert. I guess that was a fantastic intro.
Well, good, man. I'll send you the clip, and you can just play it wherever you go.
Yeah, we'll say big expectations need big fulfillment, right?
That's it. Absolutely. All right, so first of all, why don't you tell us about this Google Search Excellence Award? You know, what a great honor. Congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, absolutely. So the one thing I've been honored with the last couple of years has been this award that goes out each year from Google. So what happens is Google is almost like this all-seeing eye into all the marketing that's going on for every company when they are working on Google. So they have this panel internally who sits in the U.S., and they go through and pick and choose and judge accounts of basically every company, every agency, just trying to figure out who's doing it best, performing best, and I guess, you know, leading the industry as far as innovation is concerned. So they kind of have over 100 different criteria narrowed down to 12 people in North America each year. So they decided that I was the first person in Canada who warranted receiving such award, and they flew me out for, I guess, the ceremony in Chicago, which was great.
That is really cool. And one of the things about Google is not only are they concerned with you delivering good results, but delivering it based on their guidelines, best practices, if you will.
Yeah. So Google has a very specific set of, you know, what's right and wrong, good and bad. But ultimately, what they are encouraging most these days is just very open, very transparent activity. So if you're a business out there looking to sell credit cards, cars, insurance, makeup, you name it, if you're kind of setting yourself up for success within Google's platforms and tools, you have access to the whole world, and you know, they kind of recognize when people are able to do it better than the peers around them.
Sure. All right, so let's do this real quick. Why don't you give us a little preview or a little review of what does Direct Access Digital do? What are you guys all about, and who are your customers?
You got it. Yeah. So myself personally, I've had about 10, 12 years just doing all kinds of digital. So we started up Direct Access basically when we saw that these Fortune 500 companies out there are paying a ton of money to a whole bunch of different agencies and companies to manage digital for them, but they're really not getting back what they should. So what Direct Access Digital does, we specialize in basically everything as far as digital marketing, websites, tracking is concerned. So if there's a way to make money online, whether you're selling through your stores only, through your website, or both, we kind of specialize in everything required. So we're doing your search ads, banners, Facebook ads, YouTube videos, all to generate overall business success. So we're what's called a performance digital play, which is all built around, say, you're trying to sell books, for example. We're going to work with you to get the most possible sold for the least amount of money using all kinds of different digital tactics.
Gotcha. And I like what you said there. I mean, all types. So you have the banner ads, your basic text ads, videos, all those things are all part of the digital platform.
Yeah. I mean, a few years ago, you could kind of say we do search ads or we do banner ads. But to be honest, almost every week there's a new platform or a new type of ad or channel that opens up. So kind of listing off specifics is just going to be a very, very long list. So we've decided our core value is just around driving money, making money for companies. We'll use everything and everything. We'll learn it all and specialize in it. And then it's just a matter of someone comes to us and they want to know what's going to work for them. We kind of can create that, you know, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or Google first approach.
Gotcha. Speaking of Twitter, since you brought up Twitter, when you're talking at Twitter or Facebook or any of these social media platforms, are you talking about organic social media, or are you talking about using their advertising platform?
I'd say mainly their advertising platform. So it is really good to use your owned and operated channels as far as they can take you. Typically, so we work with one of the banks up here and the Canadian arm of Lowe's Home Hardware. So what we do there mostly is basically go to Facebook. They've got a more developed platform than Twitter, and just kind of say, okay, we've got 150,000 products we're trying to sell online. You're going to match us up with all the right people at the right times and drive a whole bunch of store sales and store visits.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, let's talk about this. Get your advice on this. How should businesses be managing their digital marketing?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's, I'll admit it's a very big question. I'll make one quick point, I guess, on the opposite side. I can tell you the best way to avoid making mistakes would be to avoid the temptation to manage everything you would in a traditional mindset. So if someone sits down and says, okay, you know what, let's invest in digital, we're ready, we want to grow, and you think of it like a TV buy or a radio buy or sending out print ads, you'll never find that kind of success you're looking for. That entire marketing model and world built on the, I know 50% of my ad dollars are wasted, I just don't know which 50%. that's kind of just gone now, I'll be honest. we're 90, 95% certain now which dollars are working and exactly how. So what I'd say is when a company looks to approach digital, we have to recognize that us as a world have given up privacy to a huge degree for convenience. So we're willing to tell Facebook all about our lives. We tell LinkedIn all about our work careers. And we, even messaging back and forth, let companies just look at what we're saying. So we'll say for better or worse, marketers have access to all of that now. So if, for example, you're trying to find someone who's a good candidate to get pre-approved for a mortgage, you know, you can go and you can say, okay, let's put myself in their shoes. What are they doing? So number one, they're searching and researching different rates. Okay, we can show ads there to reach them. In Facebook, they probably have a new family status or have shown interest in buying a home, which Facebook makes available to us marketers, so we can target them there. And you can go through 100 different ways that you can find your potential customers, whether it's a consumer or a B2B play. And then you basically put your marketing hat back on and say, how do we get that up and running today, and how do we track it?
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. That, you know what, and one of the things that I love about digital marketing, unlike traditional marketing, the way I grew up, you know, back in the old days, you would run a TV ad or a radio ad or a print ad, and you'd have to sit back there and wait.
Right.
And sometimes you would have to run that ad for 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 months, depending on what you were running, and then try to, you know, quantify the results. What I love about digital marketing, it's instantaneous. I mean, you and I can start running an ad today, run it for 24 hours, and look at our results and say, wow, look at all the click-throughs we're getting, but we're not getting any conversion. So we have to fix, you know, either our landing page, or we have to what do you call it, target a different audience. Something's not working, but at least we can identify it fairly quick.
Yeah, I'd say if marketing is a blend of art and science, we've gone very far down the science path these days. Because like you mentioned, I can go right now and talk to someone we work with and say, okay, we just saw one person, let's say Bert, he saw a banner ad on his phone. He checked us out on Twitter. Then he went home to his computer, typed in our website, and bought one of our products. We can see that entire path in real time. We can tell we spent $10 to get Bert there, but we just made $50 off that sale. So let's keep doing more of that for, the whole public.
Right. No, and I love that. I love that. Let me ask you this. What mistakes do you see companies or marketers make most often?
All right. I'd say beyond trying to force that traditional mindset into a digital world. Biggest area that causes issues these days are tools. There was a study done, or I guess an exercise done. There's, as it stands today, over 3,000 different tools you can buy to help with your digital marketing.
Did you say 3,000?
That's correct. There are more than 3,000 actively in market that you can buy at this moment.
Wow.
They do anything and everything or nothing at all. You can spend $3 a month or $3 million a year. And every single one of them claims it's the perfect tool for you. But some are good, some bad. A lot will waste your money. And to be honest, owning a saw doesn't make you a carpenter in many cases.
I love that. Oh, I'm going to have to steal that one. Owning a saw doesn't make you a carpenter. I love that. Actually, even owning a saw doesn't even make you a skilled sawer, if you whatever you call that. Let me tell you, I used to own a saw and I couldn't get a straight line even when I was trying to follow a straight line.
Exactly. Yeah. So the thing is, everyone right now is they tend to be so obsessed with what's the thing that they got to buy to fix all their problems? But you can get so far down the path. I mean, even with significant levels of activity, before you kind of give up and say, you know what, I need another tool to do my job correctly. At that point, go look for something. But what we find is that so many people are obsessed with all the different pros and cons of the tools that will overnight just build them a whole marketing campaign. And that's, you spend a lot of money and you often get nothing out of it.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And it just goes to show you how difficult it can be to get some good help when you have, so many choices to choose from and everybody's bombarding you and they're all telling you the same thing. No, we're the one that you need. We're the best one. So let's talk about this. What challenges do you see in the marketing agency side of digital marketing?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I guess Direct Access Digital, we took a very disruptive angle for this reason. So if I was a marketing agency and I said, okay, we could do TV or we could do digital. If you were to give me $10 million to go run a whole set of TV commercials, it takes, a good amount of work, but I'll get commissions back in the tune of $2 to $3 million from all these different TV networks. Just for moving the money from the client to the TV network. So there's that compared to digital, where you're tracking and watching $5 at a time. It's a ton of work, and you can't often build in those hidden commissions that the customer never knows even exist. So the entire industry I'm in, they're kind of crumbling a little bit because they've got their huge profit centers of traditional and TV and radio. That are losing and losing ground to digital, which, to be honest, is much more effective in most cases if you look at your value per dollar. But it by no means makes as much money for these agencies.
Sure. I mean, and a lot of people don't even know this. So I grew up in the traditional ad agency atmosphere. And you're right. You would get anywhere from on average, minimum, is 15% commission, but you could get as high as 18 to 20% commission depending on your relationship with the media that you're buying.
Exactly. It's kind of that, you know, that Mad Men type era still did exist even 10 years ago, where it was all backdoor, rather closed door, shake hands type of world, where digital has just kind of exposed everyone. And it's created huge turmoil in my industry.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. All right, so how does Access Digital make their money? If you're not making money from the commissions, because obviously there's not any to make, so how do you guys make your money? Do you charge me a fee for the profits or what?
So yeah, what we do, like you said, where normally I could just do the work for almost free and live off of these heavy commissions from the TV channels, I have to actually convince you to want to pay to work with me. So that may sound, you know, normal, but to be honest, we just kind of have to come forward and say, look, if you're doing this on your own, here's what you've been seeing. Here's the performance and the money you're making. We're going to take a fee, and we're going to do it based on the amount you invest through us because it's proportional to work. But at the same time, you're going to make much more return than you would have without us in the picture. And the beauty is, you know, we can be this, you know, when we started out, a tiny company, but prove we can punch above our weight class. That's the beauty of digital. So we just outperformed the giants in the space and have displaced in many cases.
Yeah. And I think is a great system because really, look, if it kind of puts you in the same situation that most of us are on, right? If I deliver good value, meaning I deliver results for my clients, they're going to stay with me. If I don't deliver value, then they're going to fire me and find somebody else that will.
Right. And we can't do the typical thing in my space, which, you know, to be honest, it's not great, but agencies are known for just making it impossible to figure out what the value is. So if you never know, how can you know any better? But, you know, we're just kind of, let's open everything up. Either you're paying us and you're happy with the value you're getting, or you're not, and then we're, you know, done working together. So it's more stressful, but, you know, it allows us to just say, okay, if we're adding real value and acting as a good partner, then we can keep working together.
Yeah. No, I think that just makes so much sense. All right, so let me ask you this. I'm going to switch hats with you, Eric, and I want to kind of put you through what I call my bonus rounds here at Money for Lunch. And I want to talk about, if you can think back when you started off as an entrepreneur, when you first launched your first business, or maybe it was the current business that you're in, what was the thing that was holding you back as far as getting started or pulling that trigger and diving right in? Talk about that a little bit if you can.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I don't think I had a unique situation, but you know what I had sitting in front of me was you know, one very predictable kind of secure career path in what it was doing.
Right.
And even at that point, I was a good 7 years in, pretty senior, compared to the great abyss of nothingness. So I actually, our operations, so my business partner and I, we went without any funding. So we just kind of fell out, decided to stop taking salaries, didn't have any clients, and you know, risked it all, if you will. So it, you know, it was extremely challenging. There were many times where, you know, you just, it's hard to explain, but you don't get paid because you do good work. You can do all the good work in the world when you're first starting out, but if you don't have a client who cares, unfortunately, it doesn't get you anywhere. So if you can get past that, if you can just kind of keep grinding and pushing as hard as you can for a chance to prove yourself, to be honest, it's quite easy from there. You've worked so hard just for the opportunity to play that if you get one, it's really easy to just say, you know what, I'll give this my all. This is everything I've been working for. And then you just try to push harder and harder.
I love it. Let me ask you this. Is there a personal habit that contributes to your success? What is it?
In a word, I'll say resilience. It's
I
how
like
many
that.
Times can you get kicked down and get back up again? Because
right.
the exact same work that I can do today that Google's saying, you know what, fantastic job, great work, you're top 12 in North America. You may not be able to convince a mom and pop shop down the street that you're good enough to work with. It's because it's all your word. So the rejection and failure that happened up front, if you get discouraged by that, I'd say, yeah, there's no way around that problem.
Right. Absolutely. What's the best piece of advice you've received?
Best piece of advice. I don't want to sound too pessimistic, but it's, the old adage of never count your chickens before they hatch.
Right.
Because it's so easy to get so invested in far down a path or a deal or an opportunity or a win that you celebrate before you've kind of gotten everything in line. So, what happens when you work so long for little success is that when something finally works, it's very easy to be overconfident. And you know, this happens to, I think it's 80% of startups. You're hiring like crazy because you're dead confident in what your future looks like. Your
right.
costs skyrocket, the deal doesn't work out, and your company hits the ground. So
yes.
it's, you know, that kind of forced patience with we're going to stay lean, understaffed continuously, so we're not part of that 80% statistic.
No, and I think that's smart. I think on a spiritual level, I like to look at that as pride, right? Where you start believing your own
right.
press clippings and, man, hey, this is going to great. This is going to roll forward forever. We just got this great award or we got this big client and life is great forever. It just, you know, every time you start counting your chickens before they hatch, it always causes a big problem. All right. Let's talk about this real quick. Because you're in the digital space, do you have a internet resource that you can recommend? It could be something like Upwork for outsourcing, services. It could be Pixlr for editing software, any kind of free resource that you'd like to recommend to folks.
Absolutely. So what I recommend to almost everyone is the core Google utilities if you own a website. So
okay.
Google Analytics, just for your site tracking and measurement to see who's visiting your website, what they're looking at, what's working and not working. Also what's called Google Webmaster Tools. And basically, there's that huge confusing world of SEO where you never really know how Google's seeing your website. You don't know why your pages aren't showing up. That actually gives you a window, and it's a free one. So Google will show you, okay, we found this problem with your site, or we don't see half your pages, or you need to fix this, fix that. What Google wants eventually is for people to get enough online business that they invest in ad spend. So the
sure.
Google Analytics tool, it's very underappreciated, but it parallels, $50,000-$60,000 a year analytical software suites because they just actually truly want people to succeed because eventually it ends up in revenue for themselves.
Yeah, no, actually, I think that's a great tool, or in this case, a great suite of tools or resources. And it's also a great way to build your clientele because Google does give people a lot of free tools in hopes that you're going to build a lifelong relationship with Google and eventually spend money with them. How many of us got Gmail for free and now are paying a dollar or two a month to add, to have more storage? The
right.
same thing with, as you were mentioning, with the ad spend. You start using these web tools, you start getting comfortable with what you're doing, and all of a sudden you're going to start spending. Maybe it's $5 a day or $10 a day or whatever it is. But you start building that relationship for long-term success.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, when you look at it from the consumer point of view, every single free Google tool exists to help advertisers spend more. So, for example, we invest a ton with Google to target people even based on the types of emails they're receiving within Gmail. So, there's that creepiness level, but your use of maps shows advertisers where you are. Gmail,
right.
What you're saying, YouTube, what you're watching and interested in. So Google's whole business model is give the public something for free so that we can use the data to sell back to advertisers. And they
sure.
did that. They flipped the model for the analytics where they said, okay, let's give the advertiser something for free to get them to the point where they're going to buy this stuff.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely amazing. And I think it's a great model for a lot of people to follow. That
absolutely, yeah. Because you can spend...
Go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, I was just going to say you can spend $10 a day if you want, only targeting and showing ads to people who are 50 feet from your store when they walk by with their phone. So there is no barrier to entry. If you want to reach people effectively, it's extremely accessible.
Yes, yes. And again, as we talked about earlier in the show, you can get instant feedback. You don't have to worry about let a week or a month go by. Literally within a few hours, you'll know how things are working out.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you have a book that you would recommend to our listeners? What would it be and why?
There's a great one, actually, that I read recently entitled Hacking Marketing by Scott Brinkler. So he's a pretty strong pioneer in the marketing technology space. So where I mentioned there are these 3,000 tools and there's so many that don't really work. It's almost like a really nice 101 into marketing tools and approaches for our modern world. So for anyone with a business who's looking at getting started and trying to understand where to spend their energy and why, I'd say it's an excellent read.
More about marketing, digital marketing, and running a business. Eric Rogers, Direct Access Digital is the name of the company. Thank you so much for stopping by today.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Bert.
Good stuff there from Eric Rogers. And again, the company is called Direct Access Digital. And as you can tell, the guy knows what he's talking about. Impressive to be awarded Google Search Excellence Award, not once, but twice in his space. Always good to be, recognized by the leader in the digital space, right? Anyway, guys, I want to thank you so much for helping us out here at Money for Lunch. We appreciate the show suggestions, the show topics. We appreciate your support so very much. As always, remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.